Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, my God. Get your cheese heads, get your Aaron Rodgers jerseys, and get ready to partay because I'm coming to Comedy on State this Thursday through Saturday, tomorrow, April 28th through the 30th. Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin. First time there. Can't wait. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then Sunday, if you live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, come out and see me there. Bring your Laverne and Shirley and Wayne's World shit and come out to the Milwaukee Improv New Club in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, May 1st, 7 p.m. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. North Carolina shows have been rescheduled because of the Hulu show that I'm shooting, so that will be rescheduled. But May 12th, I'm in Augusta, Georgia, and May 13th through the 15th at the Punchline in Atlanta. So come out and see me, Atlanta peeps. And then, of course, May 19th through the 21st, I am in Lexington, Kentucky at Comedy Off-Broadway. And May 26th through the 28th at Comedy Works downtown in Denver, Colorado. June 3rd and 4th at Mic Drop Comedy Club, New Club in San Diego. All those tickets and information at AdamRayComedy.com. Young Rock, every Tuesday, 8 p.m., check it out. Pam and Tommy streaming on Hulu. Gaslit just premiered last Sunday. Check that out. Got a few more eps of that coming out. It's a show about Watergate with Sean Penn and Julia Roberts. Peep that on Stars every Sunday. ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. The special is out on YouTube on my channel. Adam Ray Live from San Francisco. Go check that out. Merch at AdamRayComedy.com. And I think that's it. Today's episode is very special. A very fun one with a local 206 Seattle kid that I met when he started comedy. Now he's living in Austin on private jets and opening for Joe Rogan in arenas. It's the hilarious Hans Kim. His story's bonkers. He's very dry. He's very funny. Enjoy the fuck out of this episode. And follow Hans at DJ Hans Kim on Instagram and Twitter. And that's it. So enjoy the episode. Adam Ray, Hans Kim, ALN. Here we go.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Landing gears up.
What's that?
Landing gears up.
Dude, a couple rides on a private jet, and this motherfucker's already got the flight lingo down. Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast with my guest, Hans Kim.
Hey, what's up, guys?
If you could lower your energy, that'd be awesome, dude. Hans, is that your real name?
Yeah.
Hans Kim?
A government name.
It's a great name. It's like, somebody told me once when I was like five, just a strange man in a supermarket was like, Adam Ray. And it was on my sweatshirt, which was the first time I was kidnapped. but Adam Ray's a friend of mine's dad actually was like, that's like a great name because it's short, it's quick. Hans Kim, I feel like in the same boat as far as like a couple syllables,
yeah,
rolls off the tongue.
It's hard. The k sound
is nice.
Yeah.
Do you like your name?
Yeah, it's good. It's unique. You know, people know that the sound is me. It's like a unique sound.
Also, Hans. Like, think about the Hans, the historic Hans, right? Yeah.
Hans Blix, Hans Landa, Hans from Die Hard.
Dude, you're missing a key one.
Hans Zimmerman.
I mean, that was not it, but yes. Wait, Hans Zimmerman is the
composer?
Oh, yeah. No, it's Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Either way, Hans Zimmerman, there's a real Hans Zimmerman out there right now that's very pissed because people always confuse him, and he's just like a fucking nightbagger at Vaughn's. Han Solo.
Oh, well, that's Han. H-A-N.
I always thought it was Han Solo.
Like Hans Solo.
Oh, I guess if it was that, though, it'd be Hans Olo, right?
Yeah. The S, the transitive property of the S.
Yeah, I thought it was Hans Solo.
No.
Truly.
Yeah, till now?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you didn't read the books.
Dude, I've watched maybe two of the movies. I watched the newest Star Wars when Yoda, I almost said came back from the dead, but he just, when he fought Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
That prequel. Was cool.
Yeah.
The what?
The prequel.
Yeah. But I haven't seen any since. Are you a big Star Wars guy?
Yeah. I like the mythology. I think the old ones were better. I think they captured an image. Yeah. A thought.
I like real dwarves in real Ewok suits. You know, don't yeah. CGI my dwarves.
You can't do that anymore. The little people will get mad at you.
Well, Brad Williams, shout out to Brad Williams, is quite the advocate for, you know, not CGIing that stuff. And he actually, you know, he jokes about how fucked it is that they will, like, I think in the newest, was it Snow White? They CGI'd a lot of little people, or they took people that were even like 5 feet and CGI'd them smaller. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this there's is our plenty, one chance.
There's plenty of dwarves out there that are ready to work.
Luckily, they had a good shot at Wolf of Wall Street when they were getting thrown at the Velcro dartboard.
I know, he probably auditioned for that. do you audition a lot? Do you want to act?
I do, yeah, but not that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm an actor.
Well, not with that attitude. I think you definitely have a, you've dialed in, you've been Hans Kim to me since I met you, like, which is very cool to just see your progression, because it's like, oh, you're the same guy, just funnier and more seasoned and more comfy in your own skin than when I first met you, which was, take
Jai
us back.
Tai.
Jack Tai.
2017, 16, 15, I don't know.
Of course it was a Thai restaurant that I met you at. Yeah, in Seattle.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. And I was maybe, what was it, 2017, 2016?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was about, 8, 9 years into stand-up. You were just starting?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Caught you at the very beginning. I remember you being funny right away. What was our conversation like? Did you come up to me or I come up to you?
I said something like, you're really great, or hey, it's nice to meet you. I'm really honored or something.
And yeah, I remember you being shaky and sweating a lot. You were real nervous. Yeah, no. No, yeah, you came up to me and said something, and then, which was great because I remember I had seen you and I was like, oh, that kid's really funny. And then, yeah, and then you're like, I'm just getting going. And then I saw you in New York maybe like a year later, 2 years later.
At Gotham.
Yeah, and you were out there, you'd move there.
Yeah.
Why'd you move there?
To get the next level of comedy, or to learn, to get better at it.
Because Seattle could only get you, what, so much?
Yeah.
Was there a nice community of comics in Seattle?
Yeah.
When you came up? Yeah.
Yeah. They're a bit toxic, but they're nice.
Well, every comedy scene, right? There's always like people that are trying to cut you down or bring you down or build you up for the wrong reasons. But you found like a community and like a group that you could rock with.
Yeah.
What did you do before comedy?
Mechanical engineering.
Fuck.
Very slightly, very little. I got a 2.6 GPA. Nobody wanted to hire me.
But were you one of those kids that was good at school? You just didn't apply yourself?
A little bit. I was like good at high school, but then I went into the big leagues and I wasn't good at that.
At life.
Yeah.
You couldn't make the adjustment.
I didn't have the motivation. I couldn't see myself doing this.
How'd your parents feel about that?
They were worried.
Can I just say something real quick? I always get nervous asking someone, how did your parents feel? Because like I did it once and the person goes, my parents died when I was 6. So every time I ask a person like, what do your parents think of this? I'm always waiting for a bomb to blow up in my face. You know, like if you see a guy wearing glasses in a show, sunglasses, and you're like, hey, what's up, Mr. Cool? Fucking Stevie Wonder. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm actually fucking blind. You know what I'm saying? Like that type of, or a tattoo that you're like, what does that mean? What's the Jesus cross inside of a strawberry? And they're like, my fucking dad died on a cross eating strawberry. And you're like, fuck, dude. So, okay, cool. So they were supportive of you just what? Doing whatever you wanted?
Yeah, just not being a total loser.
Cool. Yeah. I feel like that should be all parents' mindset. Yeah. Don't be a fucking idiot. Don't take away from society. Add to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Even if it's just doing open mics, at least do something.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do they come to the early shows, or were they like, we're going to wait till you're good?
Yeah. I didn't tell them about it. I'm a very private person.
Really?
Well, they knew I was doing it because I would go out late at night and come back. I did it 2 nights in a row, and then they were like really worried and getting mad at me. Like, you're such a loser. You're coming back so late at night.
Wow. They'd say that?
Drugs. Yeah.
I'd say you're a fucking loser. What a hard stance by a parent. You fucking loser. It's midnight. You're coming back with no money.
Comedy. And then they're like, okay. And then they never questioned it after that.
Oh, nice. But okay, so you had to be their intro to the comedy world though, right? Because I think 99% of us don't come from a family that's in the that's tied to the business, right? So you had to educate them on like what the world meant and what these nights were going to be like.
Yeah.
But they got on board. You don't even know.
Yeah, like comedy. I didn't even go to a comedy show until I started trying to do it.
Wow. So you accidentally went to one, or did a buddy do it?
I went to scout it out.
Yeah. What, were you a funny kid?
Yeah. A little bit. I was a class clown.
Oh my God. I don't see that, but I want to hear why. What did you do? Because there's layers of class clown. There's a kid that just says big, loud shit, right? Or does like a fart noise when the teacher sits down.
Yeah.
What was your move?
Like we had this assignment where we wrote down everything that happened in the 70s. And I recently saw Ollie G, so I wrote down the moon was discovered in the 70s.
Funny.
Or like academically funny or like...
Yeah.
I'd play with my pen and it would explode and I'd have ink all over my hand. And, you know, like...
So you're a prop comic.
Yeah.
Wait, what would you do with the ink on your hand? Would you say something funny after that or just be
just like, oh, Hans, look at you, idiot. You made a mess.
You can't fucking hold a pen properly. And you started to what? Recognize that you could make people laugh?
Yeah. I was just like, I didn't respect school, so I just... displayed my disrespect for it. Like some kid would be leaning back in his chair and he'd be like, stop doing that. That's dangerous. And I'd be like, yeah, Lamar, you daredevil. Why don't you stop being such a risk taker, leaning back in your chair? And just like poking fun at authority, I think.
Yeah. And the dry delivery has always been like, from the get go, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like the way, yeah. Cause that is a big thing that people are drawn to with your comedy is the dryness, the subtlety, like the misdirection. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You also do a good job of what I noticed right away is like smiling on stage. Cause that's not something that everybody naturally just does. And especially with like that, you know, kind of, the monotonous of your cadence and tone. Sometimes it's like, you are such a nice, likable guy that you've got to like sometimes remind people like, hey, these are just fucking jokes up here. Right?
Yeah. I think it's like, I'm not trying to look cool. Like, I don't mind if I look a little beta or whatever. I'm not trying to be the coolest guy in the room because I know I can't. So I just like, whatever. I'm just going to be like, ha 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 or whatever. Soft Asian boy or something.
Soft Asian boy. Great name for your first special. Is that now... I mean, you tell me like with, your parents are Asian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like, so you said they were like, don't be a loser. We're supportive of what you're doing. But at what point did you have to like, was there something that you needed a certain benchmark or like get a certain, you know, accolade for them to go, all right, like this is, we fully now do support this and see maybe a future with this for you. Or are they so in the dark of what this profession is that they're just like, all right, fucking hopefully you don't die.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really tell them much. I'm just doing it on my own. And
what do they think of these Rogan shows?
I haven't asked them.
Wow. Do they know?
I don't know.
Wow. Do you not talk to them anymore?
I haven't talked to them in a while, but
wow,
it's not like I'm going out of my way. I should go talk to them, but yeah.
Yeah, but also, whatever. Yeah. You got new friends now. You're friends with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Your parents can take
my parents.
All right, so you moved to New York. And you're feeling good about stand-up, yeah?
Yeah.
You got your legs under you in Seattle, and now you're going to a bigger city where stand-up is truly, like, you know, what people move there for, right?
Yeah.
Did you immediately find, like, a group of people to fart around town with, or did it take a beat to kind of get acclimated?
I found some people, but yeah. I never really got the respect or the bookings that would make someone feel good about doing comedy there.
Fuck.
And then the pandemic hit. I did it for 3 years there, just open mics mostly.
Yeah, and then, which is great because there's a lot of stage time, but like even for open mics, I mean, I moved there for a year after college and did open mics when I was living with a girlfriend at the time, and it sucked, dude. I paid to go on stage at a few open mics.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
And it was the same people. I was seeing all of them, and it was just like, wow, at what point do you get to perform for people? And then every now and then you get on a show like a stand-up New York or something, or somebody would throw you a bone to get on an actual, even if it was a bringer show, you're like, all right, at least there's going to be more than comics there. What did New York do for your comedy that Seattle didn't do?
It made it tougher, you know, more, it exposed me to a higher level of critique. And it exposed me to better comedians. Mm. And it was like, oh, this is where I could go, or like what it looks like to be better at this. So it helped me be around like iron sharpens iron, get better at it, and put a fire under my ass and write more.
Those two back-to-back inspirational quotes you just said. Are you a big quote guy? Fire to the ass, iron sharpens iron. Do you have, I envision you going home with just, you have like a vision board with a wall of quotes. Are you a big quote guy?
No, I just use whatever metaphors to explain, like literary devices to explain like the process, because I don't really think about it. Like, I just go through it. So like when I have to think back at it, I just like use cliches and stuff to explain what happened. But yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. It was really like tough, and yeah, I mean, I learned English kind of late, so it's sort of,
oh really,
like, yeah.
What age?
Like 4 or 5.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
How? Books?
No, TV? Just preschool.
Yeah.
Just being thrown into the kindergarten.
Jimmy O Yang said he learned English through watching Friends. Was there a show for you that helped develop the language quicker? No.
Not really. I mean, like
Cheaters or
Arthur, Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I watched.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so COVID hits, and then you came here.
Yeah, I was on a road trip. I was hitting a week in Philly, D.C., Richmond, Atlanta, Miami. And then I was in Miami when everything started shutting down. And then...
Miami, nothing was shutting down.
Well, it was March.
Okay.
Right when it first hit.
So even Miami, Florida, even a little bit was like, all right,
yeah,
a couple of days.
Yeah. Everyone was stunned. It's like everyone got knocked off balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything was shut down. There were no shows. There was one open mic. I saw my first guy wearing a mask.
What was that like?
I was like, this is necessary.
Yeah.
Like, this is a little much.
Did you think it was going to be like truly, like, what did you think when it was happening?
Were
you
thought a week, 2 weeks, a month.
Because I think for most people to even envision what it was just not even in the realm of possibility, right?
Yeah.
It's just like when I first saw Two Girls, One Cup, I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. I didn't think this was even possible.
Yeah.
But then Devil's Advocate, I'm also like, I can't believe it took us this long. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's so simple.
Yeah. Really? The music was great in that.
Good direction.
Okay, so... You leave Florida and you're like, fuck it. I have like truly dealer's choice of where to go, right? Because nothing might open up for quite some time.
Yeah. So I was kind of worried because I was in Florida in the corner. So if shit like popped off, I was trapped.
Yeah.
In that little thing. So I went camping. I went up. I felt a little better when I went up to the north of Florida. I had more options.
Where do you camp in Florida?
This forest, I forget what it's called.
Like, you're a big outdoors guy?
I became one.
Nice.
Yeah, because I had the van. I was living in a van.
What? For how long?
For 4 years.
Holy shit.
Rogan gave me enough money where I could move into a house, but yeah.
That's amazing. Shout out to Joe, man. You went from van to house.
Yeah.
So the last 4 years you've been living in a van?
Yeah.
Like what I've seen on like,
Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bed, little kitchen.
Yeah. A spinner van. I can stand up in it.
Wow.
So that was that thing. Yeah. I could, go camping, I could sleep in a relatively nice place. It was shielded from the outside. I had a little heater. But yeah, I went camping in the forest, met up with a friend of mine who happened to be a girl, and we just hung out and didn't have sex. But we made marshmallows or had a campfire or whatever. And then did that all the way to Seattle, because that's where I'm from. That's where we're from.
Yep.
But then I stayed with my parents for 6 months or 7 months waiting.
Would you still sleep in the van, like out in the front yard?
No, I slept inside.
In the house, yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I slept out.
Because what if you were like, hey, the house is cool and all, but I want to sleep in my own bed.
Yeah.
And they're like, but it's in a fucking van,
Hans. They were worried about me.
They were.
Like a dog.
If you pulled up, you pulled up in a, you're like, this is my house.
Yeah.
What do they say?
They're like, oh, it's bigger than I thought it'd be.
That's supportive.
They treated it like my comedy. They didn't really watch it or look at it until they had to.
Sleeping in a fucking van. Wow. Did you adjust pretty quick, or were you like down on yourself? Were you like, fuck, man?
When I first did it, I was in a minivan in January in New York, sleeping in the cold in front in like Coney Island, because my car didn't even start then. The minivan, the battery kept dying, so...
Didn't have an apartment.
No.
So in New York, you were like, the van is home.
Well, I was living in a home for 6 months, and then I transitioned into a I lost my job and I transitioned into a van.
Fuck, a minivan.
A minivan with a battery that didn't work.
Yeah, and there's no bed situation in a minivan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like you got the seats go only so far back. I guess you can stretch out.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Also, you can't park a minivan at like campgrounds, can you?
I mean, you could.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I just
the campground community wouldn't like throw eggs at you and be like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah, I'm the leper. I'm the homeless guy.
Holy shit, dude. I didn't know you were living in a van. That's crazy.
It was not a good setup, and I fixed it later, but I had like this huge sink in it that was just in the way that I never used. But yeah, it was not the ideal setup. And then I bought a van, a Sprinter van, which was a lot better.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel better about bringing a girl back to a Sprinter van versus a minivan, right?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah. I had sex with a girl in the minivan.
What seat?
I cleared out all the back seats, and so it was just flat in the back.
Great.
Yeah. It was hot. Like, there's no choice but to touch each other there, so.
A real confined space.
Yeah.
Minivan sex, I feel like gets overlooked.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a category on Pornhub that people are seeking out, but I think if, minivan probably more so than, like, hammock or hot air balloon is probably more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
where do you rank it? Where do you rank minivan sex in your escapades?
It was great, in my opinion. I had a great time. I mean, maybe it was the set and setting or the woman in particular, but
yeah, that had to do with it.
Yeah,
yeah, that made it better.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's that. I think the environment can sometimes factor into how things go. Like if you're, you know, if you were fucking on top of another couple, like that's probably despite how great you and your partner are, like there's probably going to be some distractions, right?
Yeah. I had sex with like two girls there.
In the van?
Yeah.
Okay. And then how many in the Sprinter van?
Probably like three or four.
Great. Yeah. What's that, how's that conversation go? So I'll be the girl.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get me to go back to the Sprinter van. Hans, really great show tonight.
Yeah.
So, do you always perform at the Vulcan? So how long have you known Joe Rogan?
About 8 months.
Well, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And have you done his podcast?
No, not yet.
But you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Spotify is weird because it's like my playlists are, it's great for playlists, but I don't know. Sometimes it does the shuffle and I'm always like, I'm trying to work out, not fucking fuck, you know?
Yeah, speaking of fucking, you want to go for a ride and go to my place?
Yeah, wow, you are super forward, but you know what? Yeah, I like your vibe, I like your mojo, I like your energy. How far is your place from here?
It's like 5 minutes from here.
That's not far.
Yeah, I live right here.
Can we walk?
Yeah, we could drive. We could go to my place and drive, or we could just walk into my place and just sit there.
I'm confused. So we'll walk and then drive in your place?
Yeah, I have a luxury mobile home.
Like a van?
I guess it's a Sprinter van. You can stand up in it.
Oh my God, for a second, I thought you just said Splinter Van, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I got so excited because I have a weird fantasy of getting fucked by a Ninja Turtle. It's a whole thing, but that's so crazy. Wait, okay, so you live there?
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, that's really hot. Do you have like, can you make food in there?
Yeah, I have a little stove.
Can we make nachos?
I can buy nachos and cheese. I don't know how to make nachos.
Well, I think you just said it. Nachos. It's just chips and cheese.
You can make nachos anywhere.
Are you threatening me? I don't like your fucking attitude right now, Hans. You need to play your cards right. If I'm going to fuck you in your Splinter van.
Well, maybe I'm Asian and I said Splinter on accident.
Splinter wasn't Asian. Or was he?
He seemed Asian. He had a bathrobe and a cane.
And you're right. He was into karate.
Yeah.
Most Asians are karate. There's more Asians than white people in karate, right?
Yeah. We came up with it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
With the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Well, I think a white guy came up with the Ninja Turtles, but yeah, that was probably influenced by an Asian guy.
Yeah, ninjas are Asian.
Yeah. So Splinter, but Splinter, I couldn't tell from his, but I guess the cane thing. Shredder was Asian. His name was Hamatoyoshi.
Okay. Which one is Shredder?
He's the guy who had the fucking mask with the knives on his hands.
Oh, the bad guy.
He was the villain, yeah. And his Oroku Saki, I think. Wait, Hamatoyoshi was Splinter and Oroku Saki was Shredder.
Well, you know a lot about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's the only way I can come is by reading the comics.
Well, I can put on a backpack.
A Ninja Turtles backpack?
Yeah, like a shell.
And fuck me with the shell backpack? Yeah. It's not going to be like a Shell gas station backpack, is it? Because that's very funny.
Yeah.
Is that your style of comedy, like ironic stuff? Like,
yeah, it's like prop comedy.
I used to buy condoms from the Shell gas station all the time, but then I stopped using them.
It shelled your partner's penis?
Yikes. I think you just fucking joked your way out of a fuck. No, that's cool. That was funny. Okay, cool. So we'll just lay down in the back, or is there like a button you press that like just...
No, we can walk to the back. It's a nice little bed. It's got a mattress in it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Quick question, and this might be personal. Has anybody else fucked in here?
I mean, it's my place, so like...
But like, you don't like Airbnb it out to like strangers to fuck?
No.
Hans Bing bus?
No, yeah, it's not. Yeah, I mean, I haven't done that, but that's a good business plan.
The Bang Bros?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really crushed it. Like, they were ahead of their time. Yeah. It was it was great.
Yeah, it's mobile. You can imagine it happening. It's dangerous.
Yeah, girls like danger. That's kind of why your whole van setup is, like, intriguing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, ooh, I might die, but I might get to meet Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it's, it could happen at a moment's notice. Like, there's no, you have to be on guard. So the whole time, if you're a girl, because it's like, I could roll up anywhere.
Totally. But I feel safe in a Sprinter van.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for having sex.
End scene. Thanks for having sex. Have you, I feel like you, so look, when you start doing Kill Tony, I'm getting ahead of myself. You got to Austin.
Yeah.
That was the move, right? So you're driving along. You're like, fucking, Seattle. I'm camping. Seattle.
Yeah, then LA.
LA.
Then I spent some time in Yuma, Arizona.
Okay.
Camped in Joshua Tree.
Did you enjoy the break?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
A lot of comics that I've talked to in the last few months have said how much they really enjoyed it. Once they settled into like, oh, there's no pressure. I mean, look, the financial strain for sure everybody felt. And I'm sure people like, you know, above us that are really safe and secure and on the road all the time. I heard like a guy like Bill Burr I know really loved it. He was like, wow, I get to just be home with my fam and chill and not be on the road.
Yeah, because you have no choice. It's not like, oh, I could be working right now. Like, no, you can't be working.
Nobody is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were driving around enjoying the sights and the scenes of our country.
Yeah.
How was Yuma?
Yuma was great. I stayed with a friend, a lady friend, who we didn't have sex.
but you made marshmallows?
Yeah.
I feel like that's your fucking go-to.
Yeah.
Is the marshmallows a consolation prize because sex doesn't happen?
Yeah, something wet and gooey all over their mouth.
It also could be an aphrodisiac. Marshmallows is such a nostalgic snack.
Yeah.
And like a fun group activity. Yeah. You know, you got to get the sticks out. Maybe it's almost like, you know, let me show you how to properly put the marshmallow on.
Like a Ghost, Patrick Swayze, just around them.
Yeah.
Holding it for them.
I think originally Ghost, that scene was them doing marshmallows. And then somebody was like, how about pottery?
Yeah.
And then they fired the guy who came up with the marshmallow scene.
It's not a profession.
They also, somebody said that nobody would buy a Ghost doing marshmallows.
But, yeah, because they can't eat it.
Yeah, but he can make pottery. Okay, cool. So Yuma, you're there, you're kicking with a girl. And then when does Austin come into play? When do you go? Because this started to become, right? Like there was a point during the pandemic where people were coming here.
Yeah.
Joe obviously started that movement. Is that kind of what triggered it for you?
Yeah. Joe and Tony and Kill Tony. I was a huge fan of Kill Tony.
Had you ever been on it?
Yeah, I was on it once in LA a long time ago.
How'd it go?
It went all right. They liked me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, I was like, I could either go back to LA because I was living there for like 2 months before the pandemic, or I could go to the city I've never lived in and experience a new scene, not like an old scene, but like something that's being created at the moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's just go check it out. I was like, I'm going to move before the summer hits because I don't want to be in Texas in a van during the summer. And then I got here in March, and then in May and June, I became a regular. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm stuck here. So I squatted at my friend's house, plugged into their AC.
With the van?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lived here. And then I got enough money where I can move into a house. And I was like, why not move into a house now?
Which cheaper for sure, right?
Yeah.
Did you acclimate to the city pretty quick? Like, did you just dig it? And like, there's obviously a nice community of comics here.
Yeah. Transplants.
And so then, and the Kill Tony thing, that really gave you a nice boost in these last few months, yeah?
Yeah.
When did you, so you must have gone on the show again, and they really liked you, and then something happened, or break that down for
me. Well, Tony got canceled for saying chink.
Right.
And then.
Can you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, right?
I'm Korean, but people call me Chinese, so I get to say it.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Does it offend you?
No, I look Chinese. Even to Korean people, they're like, are you Chinese?
Wow, that's good to know.
Yeah, I have a very Chinese face.
What does that mean?
Sort of bigger, you know, bigger face. Mm. You know, a lot of flesh.
Is Kim a classic Chinese last name?
No, Korean.
Korean.
Yeah,
I know a lot of Kims.
Yeah,
I grew up with like an Isaac Kim, who's a great soccer player. Yeah.
Oh, he's a soccer player.
Do you know him? In Seattle?
I know an Isaac Kim. Yeah, Throbby Lee.
Who's Throbby Lee?
That's his Instagram handle.
Oh, I thought like that was his porn name.
It sounds pornish, but he's a big guy.
He was a big kid growing up. There's probably multiple Isaac Kims in Seattle, right?
Yeah. There, he has two kids now, two boys.
I lost touch after I scored on my own team and my friend's dad called me a fucking idiot. And Isaac was on that team. And that I think I lost touch with most of the kids. Because that was a wrap on me for the sport. So I go, I don't want to know. I mean, on that team was a lot of, we had a kid named Jason Fike, Alex Shuknek. That's all I remember. Noah Hostetler. His dad was fucking 80 when we were 10.
Which was he autistic?
No. Is that like, are you, if you're...
Yeah, if you have an old dad, you're more likely to be autistic.
No, he had road rage and he was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't drive, but he just got really angry at people in the back seat. And so I don't know.
Backseat road rage.
Yeah. So maybe that was something he got passed down from old jizz.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Oh, baby, it's time to get your downstairs groomed up properly for that big, big ceremony. Wedding, funeral, bar mitzvah, high school graduation, high school reunion. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Join over 4 million men, that's a lot of dudes, that's what she said, Mom, worldwide, who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you ALN listeners. Right now, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code ABOUT20 at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, that's about 8 million nutsacks. ABOUT20 at manscaped.com for 20% off and free worldwide shipping with your order. Look, we all trim our balls. It's a part of being a dude. We all got hair in our balls. It's a part of being a dude. We got to trim it. We got to keep it fresh and clean because nobody wants me walking around with big old stupid hairy balls, okay? I've tried to do it before. I've cut myself. It sucks. How has Manscaped helped change my confidence? Oh, I don't know. Their Performance Package 4.0 came in the mail and it's a game changer because the package has the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, because now I'm at the age where that is a thing. Thanks, God. The crop preserver ball deodorant, which makes me feel fresh everywhere I go and every time I'm on stage. The crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all my goodies. Not my balls, all the stuff I mentioned. The lawnmower 4.0 is the first trimmer of the future that grooms and, dare I say, trims your balls to look like new balls. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, which we've all been a part of. thanks to the advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof, so you can take it in the shower, and also has a 400K LED spotlight so that you can have a more precise shave. And if you thought that was good, take your grooming game to the next level because she wants it. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer, and it's waterproof and skin-safe technology. Reduces nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose holes. You got to trim that stuff in the nose. It's embarrassing when people see you at dinner or at the bar and you're just like, you know, got little creatures hanging on vines inside your nose. It's gross, dude, okay? Manscaped even throws in two free gifts in the Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself. It's time to go to manscaped.com right now and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ABOUT20. That's 20% off free shipping with the code ABOUT20 at manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Promo code ABOUT20. Unlock your confidence, find your mojo, get your groove back Stella style, and use the right tools for the right balls. Your balls. Manscaped.com. Promo code ABOUT20. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Well, April is here and it's Earth Month, baby. And that means a lot of us are giving a little extra thought into how we treat the planet. Everybody wants to help out, but it's hard to know where to start. Do you just, you know, not cut down trees? Do you not drink coffee? Do you shit and not wipe? Problems like this are why climate change and plastic pollution can feel overwhelming, especially when you don't see a clear way to make an impact. Well, thank goodness Rothy's is here. They believe that even the biggest challenges can be tackled one step at a time. Who are Rothy's? Well, just my new favorite shoe. They make the most comfortable, stylish, and durable shoes on the planet and daily essentials, all recycled plastic. The shoes are recycled plastic. That's bonkers. Everything Rothy's makes is better for the planet. They've repurposed millions of water bottles into their signature thread that goes into all their products. Plus, Rothy's shoes, bags, and other essentials are made with less wasted fabric, and they're designed to be durable and washable for a stylish fit that lasts. What you wear every day shouldn't look just great. It should make you feel great, and that's exactly what Rothy's does. I got their shoes. They sent me a few pair. I'm not even joking. They're my new favorite shoes. They're so comfy. They slip right on. I get a lot of compliments. I got this little white and blue and red strip on the bottom. They go with anything I wear when I'm on stage. They're comfy. I got to be comfy on stage, especially when I travel all around the country. I need to feel like I'm living my best life and having my feet not fall asleep on the plane, which happens. I take my shoes off a lot, usually because my shoes are too tight or don't feel good or don't look good. Well, Rothy's changes all of that. If they get dirty, throw them in the wash. They look brand new and they're super durable. I don't think these shoes are ever going to break down. I've been wearing them now for months and they look like they're brand new and they feel brand new. If you want to start rocking the best shoes in the game and get 20% off your first purchase, go right now to rothys.com/about. That's rothys.com/about for 20% off your first purchase today at rothys.com/about.
Okay, so Chinese face. What's a Korean face?
Like sort of smaller eyes, kinder, like softer. Like soft features.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a little bloated.
Do you have to correct people a lot?
No.
And say I'm
usually
Korean,
they
I'm
ask. Not they, Chinese. Usually they're like, I can't tell Asians apart. I'm not going to guess.
Right. So Tony gets canceled.
Yeah.
Seems like there's a lot of layers to all that.
Yeah.
As far as what happened and how it being filmed, the kid who was on the show a bunch. I've known Tony forever. I know that that is just his world to fucking be fearless, to go hard in the paint. I've never known him to be, to say as much as he will go for the jugular and always the joke is, you know, at the on the front lines of like what should, you know, if it's something's funny. So I say that with like, yeah, but he also, if it's, he's leading with funny. Versus trying to be offensive.
Yeah.
I feel, in my experience with him.
Yeah.
So when I saw it, I was like, whoa, there's got to, what else happened here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because it's opportunistic for sure.
It also just seemed like intent is, I think, a big thing that we overlook a lot. It's like, I don't think his intention was to be racist.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, this is a funny thing in the context of his relationship with that kid, the show, I think what had happened before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that happens.
And then he comes
back. It was a
big
deal, right? I mean, the show was out for a minute, right?
Yeah. I don't think it was a big deal. Like I, but yeah, I mean,
did you have all the facts and everything, and you kind of got an understanding of the situation?
Yeah, it's like, let's just keep doing it. Fuck that guy.
Is it something that, do you take, is there a line for you with comedy and jokes and stuff like that can affect you personally?
Yeah, I mean, if it's like a bad message or like you're saying something incorrect or something that'll harm other people. But I mean, other than that, I think mostly it's fair game.
Right. If it's funny too, right? Funny does really trump a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you see people that are roast comics that will tweet stuff out after like natural disasters or fucking shootings. And, you know, everyone has a different take on it. I definitely come from a school of thought of just... I'm just, you know, overly sensitive to certain things. And like, if there's a school shooting involving kids and people make jokes about it, I just can't find funny in that at that time. I can recognize the attempt and I can even like read the joke and go, yeah, I get the joke, but why? Like, is there not even like a part of you that wants to, that thinks that versus like, oh man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but again, like, you know, and I think there is, Anthony Jeselnik said it to me at the Comedy Store one night about somebody had tweeted out something after something pretty horrific happened. And he was like, timing is key with that stuff. Like you do got to give things a beat, right? You got to let them breathe for a minute.
Yeah.
And, okay. So then you get a call from Tony or what?
I met him at the backyard of the creek. Mm. And he was like, if I'm going to come back, do you want to sing the National
Anthem? The creek in the cave, not the creek where your van is parked.
Yeah, creek in the cave. And he was like,
thanks, guys.
You want to sing the National Anthem when I come back?
Oh, at Kill Tony.
Yeah, as the Asian ambassador to America. And so I sang the National Anthem, and then they gave me a spot on the next show. And then I went up on the next show, and then they gave me the regular spot.
Did you crush it?
Yeah, they said that I did.
Are you a singer?
Oh, the singing? No, I did not crush the singing.
But you committed.
Yeah.
Did you know the lyrics? You have to look them up.
I had a little piece of paper.
Great.
I could have done it without it, but it's better to have it.
And the crowd went nuts.
Yeah, I think so. But looking back on it, it was sort of like, it was long.
Yeah. it's a long song.
Yeah. And then when I went back, the comedians in the pen, they were all like, and that was like a great moment.
Wow.
Where they all like huddled around me like Rudy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. They were like, you did it. And then like, that was a great moment.
How so?
Cause it was like the approval of my peers and.
We all want that.
Yeah. The people that you come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the respect and the, it means more, especially when you come up with a group that. Everyone understands the grind and the hustle of what we're doing, right?
Right. And plus what we went through with the pandemic.
Yeah.
And like doing the shitty open mics outside and stuff. And then like, this is like a win for us, hopefully.
It's cool to have people in your life too that want to celebrate that for you and not just go, fuck man, that was great. Fuck, I wish I could be a part of a guy that got canceled, right? okay, so that's awesome. And then you just get asked back to, I mean.
Be the regular.
Wow.
They were looking for a regular, I guess.
Yeah.
And then
a no-brainer. Yeah, you said yes right away.
Yeah, yeah. And then I started kissing girls and...
Well, yeah, don't skip over that. Yeah, that was a really interesting thing I started seeing on Instagram and YouTube where... Because the show was sponsored by Red Rose.
Yeah.
Right, which is a strip club here in Austin. And they would have girls, I think, bring drinks. What was their role in the show? What would the girls from the strip club do?
Well, there was one girl that would wash the mic stand during the pandemic.
Right.
Just to keep it clean.
Yeah.
But then they were asking people to come up, and then sometimes the strippers would come up and I'd make out with them. And then...
Well, how did that happen though?
It was... So there's this girl that I had a crush on, and they're like, what's up with your crush? Is she here right now? And then she came up and they were like, oh my God, it's your crush. Do you want to date Hans? And she was like, ew, no, gross. And then they're like, does anyone here want to kiss Hans? And then I made out with a girl.
Just from the audience.
Stripper. Yeah, she was a stripper from Orlando or Miami or something.
Some part of Florida.
Yeah.
What was your name? You don't have to say it.
She has an Instagram.
Do you have a cool stripper name?
Yeah, fuck.
Like Bacon Bits or something?
I always look at her stories. I don't know why I'm blanking on her name. It starts with an M. Miley or Maya or something.
Marshmallow? Do you get what sort of content do you get with a stripper's Instagram stories?
They're like going to concerts. She goes to a lot of raves and stuff. She does a lot of stories from like inside the strip club and just dancing and G-strings and shaking ass.
I don't know why I asked that. I mean, that's truly all the stuff I was probably that you would expect. Yeah. A lot of G-strings, a lot of booty shakes.
Pool parties.
Yep. The inside of the strip club, the behind the scenes, I don't know if that's ever, I don't know if there's enough there for people to want to see like a show, like the way that they, you know, like 30 Rock was kind of the behind the scenes of a sketch show. Like, I don't know if you could do a workplace comedy, maybe not even comedy, but just like a drama at a strip club. Maybe you could.
Yeah. Be a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
A lot of period blood.
It's a great title for it. Okay. So that's crazy. You start making out with strippers. People go nuts. I would see that footage and go, what is happening in Austin? But I'm pumped for Hans because it looks like you're getting, you know, some recognition.
Yeah.
That's also parlaying into comedy, right? Because you're on the show for that. But then you're getting to, it's always cool when you can see, a show like that that's got such a following, right? And what it has done for people that are on the show. And what I dug when I saw you being on the show and all these clips, I was like, oh, he's just down for the cause. Like you're yes-anding all these opportunities, which right. I think is cool. Cause you never know what is going to be what. And it's like, yeah, it's not like you were just some guy that was going up there making out with strippers. Like you're on the show to be funny. And this was like a bit that came out of that, that then turned into a regular thing, right?
Yeah.
Like every week they would bring another girl up to make out with you.
Yeah.
Now, did you make you self-conscious about your kissing? Would you like practice on your hand at home or like?
No, I just enjoyed it. Yeah. I try not to be too in my head. I was just like, let me see what this girl tastes like.
Would you think that or would you say that?
I would think that.
Yeah, good. Wow. Do you feel like you got pretty good?
I mean, I try
you're intimidated, to... You're intimidated, right? To kiss a stripper at first?
Yeah.
Or scared?
I'm honored. I'm like, so, like, most people don't get to kiss strippers.
Ever?
Yeah. So it was just awesome, I think. You know, their lips are soft and stuff.
Now, do your parents, do they know about that?
I don't think so. Great. I mean, they probably do. I mean, but I haven't talked to them about it.
Yeah. What do you think they'd bring up first, the stripper kiss or a tour with Rogan?
Well, it was so distant, I think, like, time.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I didn't talk to them for a while, so that could die down. And
was Joe at a show where he saw you do that?
Yeah, I think so.
What did he say?
He was like, so do you guys get paid for this? They're like, yeah, we got house fees waived.
Wow.
For the week.
Wow.
We kiss Hans.
Wow.
Like, whatever it takes.
Win-win, dude. Okay, so you start getting some good roles on this show to where, is it one of those things where you felt like an immediate boost of confidence, like every show? Like, was it, cause now again, like you're still doing all these mics and getting all the reps, but like Kill Tony's always packed. The crowd's great. You're getting now, you're becoming a regular of it. So it's like, you're getting this built in support system of a fan base, which is translated into you, you know, starting to do gigs on your own, which is cool. More pressure, more nerves like to deliver, or are you just like still like able to keep yourself pretty like, all right, I'm still enjoying the climb. Like, even though I'm, you know, now doing these arenas with Joe and just more people know who I am, or are you still very much like, I'm just a guy living in a van who's fucking looking to make marshmallows and not fuck.
Well, you know I want to fuck. Marshmallows are a consolation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just sort of been like a normal thing to me. It's like, this is what comedy should be like, hopefully.
Yeah. Put in the work and you see it pay off, right?
Right. I try not to take it for granted or anything, cool. But I also don't, you know, like believe the own my own hype is
good.
Just like whatever is happening is just like, you know, like outside, external to like the actual process of writing and performing. But it definitely helps, you know, being able to perform in better venues and stuff.
Yeah. It raises your game, right?
Right.
Have you learned things being around with Joe and Tony, like on the road and stuff? Like, have they... you know, gone out of the way to throw you, you know, gems of advice here and there, or do you ask? Are you that forward about it?
I just get their energy and like how they approach it and their love for it and their zest for it and just like their attitude and energy towards it. I don't try to like take any, concrete little things. I just try to check, you know, vibe, check their, or, you know, like feel their vibes and try to incorporate that.
What was one thing you noticed about performing with Joe that you, you know, because being around someone of that magnitude and someone who's that seasoned in the art form and, like you said, does have a zest for it, is there something that you, a takeaway that you had from these shows so far where you're like, wow, that's why, that's one of the things that contributes to this guy being who he is?
Well, he talks about stuff that he's interested in. Like, it's never, like, out of his way to talk about this stuff. Mm. And every time he's like saying exactly what he wants to say and what people want to hear. And it's just crazy to hear that. Like someone who's just can talk and say whatever he wants to say and make that funny, as opposed to, like, you know, looking up rap lyrics to make fun of it.
Right.
He just talks about what he's actually interested
in. He's genuinely curious, I feel like, which is a big part of, I think, what we do is you got to have, right? You got to be, there's got to be some emotional attachment to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Otherwise people are like, why should I care about this? Right.
Yeah.
Like, I want to feel that you actually give a shit about the material that you're riffing on. You just came back from Dickies Arena in Dallas, in Fort Worth, which was, I think you said 14,000?
Yeah.
Did you ever think you would play that?
No.
What was it like?
It was amazing. It was like people all around, everyone's listening to you. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. It's definitely...
Took a private jet to get there?
Yeah.
Ever been on one?
Yeah, I mean, my first time was with Joe Rogan, so yeah. It was Jacksonville, and this was my second one in Fort Worth. But yeah, it was a great way to do it. Like, you feel special. You feel like it's an actual show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all there to see him, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So there's just like a... And then does he intro you guys, or how does that work?
Yeah.
Cool.
He intros me.
Wow.
Which is nice. I have to go first, but I'm the only one with an intro by Joe. And then I bring up Brian
Intro
Simpson.
By Joe. That sounds like... a cologne. I was trying to figure out what that is. Isn't that like how they, like, you know, like Sweat by Ralph Lauren, right?
Yeah. Essence of Joe.
What do you think Joe Rogan's cologne would be?
Something musky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something elk.
Something elk. Infused. Yeah. Maybe just on it.
Yeah. Like Alpha Brain.
What would Hans Kim, what would the cologne of Hans Kim be?
like cinnamon or something spicy, something. you know, like sugary.
Yeah. Are you a snack guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your go-to snack on the road?
Teddy Grahams, honey or cinnamon.
I love that.
Yeah. They're really dense.
People forget about Teddy Grahams.
Yeah.
Remember the song?
No.
You remember the fucking Teddy Grahams theme song and you love that snack?
Yeah, I don't know it.
It was, they were like little bears, right?
Yeah. Teddy bears.
It was like, oh, Teddy Grahams. You remember that?
I think that was before my time.
Fuck you, dude. How much older am I than you? I'm 39. How old are you?
32.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to do that. We're pretty much the same age. That's going to be my move at 40. Talk to a 28-year-old. Oh, yeah, pretty much, dude. well, it's pretty cool to see your progression.
Thank you.
Yeah. And well deserved, man.
Thank you,
man. Like I said, from the moment I met you, I could just tell that you were like in it to win it, you know.
I was writing a lot. I was going up at a lot of mics.
Yeah, yeah. You just committed to the craft and like didn't. I could tell that you didn't have a plan B, which was, and that's not a slam. That's a good thing. I think if you're thinking of like, all right, at least if it didn't happen, I can do this.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to make it. Because then you're just distracting from being fully invested, right?
Yeah.
Again, that's just my take. But how do you write? Before we close this out, I have a few more questions. How do you write? What's your process?
I have a little Bluetooth keyboard. It hooks up to my phone.
Nice.
So I just lay down and write.
And so you truly are, do you have like nuggets of ideas? If you're walking outside, you see something, will you just jot down a little note?
Yeah.
Or will you write and then go expand on it later?
Yeah.
Cool.
I write 2,000 words every day, so...
Wow.
I try to, at least. Which just gets me practicing writing and whatever's in my head, I get it out there and see my thoughts in physical form. And that helps me the rest of the day. I may not come up with something great there, but the rest of the day, I'm used to writing down my thoughts. Mm. So then it's more easier to transition my thoughts to paper.
Good to develop that habit, too.
Yeah.
I'm that same way with being able to see, like, the words. Like, I have, you know... I used to do notebooks all the time and then lost a couple that were like devastating. So now I'm just all, I just do emails to myself because I'm like, if I lose a phone or a computer, I can still, you know, access it. But needing to see, like, even before every show, like, just whether it's the set list I've made up or the chunks of whatever, it's like, I got to be able to see that because then I can, you know, expand on stage. Do you write on stage at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to, yeah. Because then it's like, it's direct. Like, you don't have to be in your house being like, what would work in front of an audience? You could be like, oh, this might work in front of an audience.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to. I would like to get better at that, but yeah.
Well, it's just reps.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm about 15 years in and it's, you know, I feel pretty dialed in with crowd work at this point. And which even just last night, I mean, I wrote down today like probably 4 bits from stuff that happened, which I think is just a, if you can get to that point of where you are comfortable enough to be able to go off script and it's like, not everybody needs to have that skill of being comfortable to do crowd interaction stuff, but I feel like it's just, why wouldn't you want to have as many opportunities? Well, I felt a little Omicron-y.
Sorry. No, it's my throat. I got to sort of.
That's what everyone who has Omicron says. Did you have COVID?
Yeah, once.
How'd it feel?
I felt horrible. I got over it pretty quick, though.
Yeah.
It was like 2 days of fevers and a little disoriented, a little dizzy.
Lose your taste?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I was vaccinated, so I don't think it hit me as hard.
Yeah.
But I thought it was supposed to work, but yeah.
All right, we're going to close this out with a little Inside the Actor Studio 10-question questionnaire to get to truly get to know Hans Kim. You ever watch Inside the Actor Studio?
Yeah.
Yeah, with James Lipton. I'm going to be James Lipton. and we're going to get to know Hans Kim here a little bit better on the About Last Night podcast. Hans, what is your favorite word?
Serendipity.
For real?
Yeah. Flabbergasted.
Oh, shit. Second favorite word?
Yeah.
Serendipity. What do you love about that word?
It's light. It's fun. It's like walking through a wheat field. Dippity. It's like
you get a little whimsical. Dippity in your step.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you would say dippity as you skippity through the wheat field.
Yeah. Dippity doo da.
I want to do mushrooms with you, Hans.
I think we could arrange that. Yeah. This place is like a drug den.
It does look like they're growing something that's illegal here, but I love it. It's a great space. Serendipity. Flabbergasted. These sound like, you know, Willy Wonka rooms where they make this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You like fun, whimsical. Yeah. Are you a big word guy in general?
Yeah, I think so. I'm doing comedy for 9 years.
Do you feel like your vocab's pretty extensive? And you like to, if you think of a word to add into a joke, you're like, all right, that's not going to make me sound too, you know.
You got to avoid like big words. People don't want to like be lectured to.
No, they also don't want to feel stupid. Yeah. I know some comics that use, I won't say their names, but dear God, I'm like, we get it.
Yeah.
You look that up. Yeah. Nobody uses that word. Nobody.
Yeah, you want to convey ideas, not your vocabulary.
Thank you. What is your least favorite word, Hans?
Least favorite word would have to be, solemn or like serious.
Yeah. You don't like the word serious? You don't like the idea about being serious, do you?
Yeah, I think it's like a tool used to control and dumb down.
I feel like we just saw the beginning of your campaign if you ran for office.
You gotta keep it light.
Yeah.
Keep it serendipitous.
Keep it uppity, baby. Would you say dippity?
Dippity uppity.
Dippity uppity. That's a law firm no one's going to. The law firm of dippity and uppity. Hey, man. Everyone's on meth at some point. You're like, dude, is that your pitch to get me to take you on? Hans, what turns you on? Sexually or not sexually? Actually, give me the sexual answer and then the non-sexual answer.
Sexually, probably like smooth skin and, skinniness.
How skinny?
Like skinnier, me or skinnier? Preferably skinnier than me.
Gotcha.
What turns me on non-sexually is like intriguing or like openness, charitability.
Mm.
That's my other favorite word is charitable.
Yeah.
We should be more charitable.
Everyone should be.
Yeah.
Everyone should be looking to just, you know, lend a helping hand. It's a very basic thing that people can do, right?
Yeah, that's how we should approach people. That should be like what we do with each other. Oh, there's a person. Time to be charitable.
Yeah. Do you hold the door for people if, they're, you know, they're behind you and you're walking into like a Panera and they're like just a couple steps behind?
Yeah.
Do you hold the door?
Like 3 seconds is probably my max.
Yeah, dude. At that point, like I got shit to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're
charitable to a point.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a limit.
You don't want to make them feel weird. Like, oh, they're holding in the, they do that little trot. You make them run.
Right. Also, I'll do things like that for my mom a lot. And she just goes, she doesn't like it because she's 71. And she's like, I'm not fucking dead. Stop treating me like I'm. And I'm just like, I'm trying to do it because I'm trying to do the nice chivalrous, you know, son to mom move. But sometimes it is because of the age, you know, I'm like, hey.
Yeah. There's a cost to that.
Yeah.
We can bear that they can't, but they don't want to admit that.
Are you nervous to get old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can get some of that Joe Rogan HGH.
Fuck yeah, dude. He's got to have some of that special juice.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, Kobe used to go to Singapore to get stem cells to fix up his body. I've heard that people take blood, I guess now. Somebody just told me this yesterday, that people at the top will go to these doctors where I think they take your blood and they put it in a shake and they shake it up and they can put it back in you.
I'm plasma like, rich platelets.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
See, if you're going to put blood in me, I want other blood. Give me fucking Brad Pitt's blood. Give me. And then we start breaking down. We're like, is it gay if you take, or if, no, a kid's blood. Somebody said a kid's blood.
Young,
and they said, they're like, if you're taking a kid's blood and putting it in your body, is that, you know, is that fall into the pedophilia thing? And then I was like, well, if you like drink it through like a penis straw, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or through your ass. If you boof it.
Boof it. Another great word.
Yeah.
Such a funny word.
That's a new one too. That came around like that whole 2015. Movement? Yeah.
Was that post COVID? Was that like we were bored out of our minds? So it was like, what can we put in our asses?
Yeah. We were like,
that's what boofing is, right?
Yeah. That way you can't get COVID. Just ass to ass. Your mouths are pointing away from each other.
I'm okay with that. You think boofing will ever catch on?
Eventually when we're totally open and, you know, we're all gay.
Again, I feel like I'm watching you run for office. At some point, can you just look into that camera real quick and say, at some point when the world's in a perfect place and we're all gay, boofing will be our currency.
At some point when the world's in a perfect place and we're all gay, boofing will be our currency.
I'm Hans Kim.
I'm Hans Kim, and I'm running for office, and I approve of this message.
Yeah, they never show the guy saying he approves his message.
Yeah.
It's always the voiceover.
Yeah.
I want to see the guy, you know, or gal.
Own it,
yeah. Hans, what turns you off?
Probably selfishness and, you know, like,
That's a good
just
one.
Just like inability to, or...
people aren't considerate.
Yeah. No willingness to change or be open.
I love that. What is your favorite curse word?
Probably bitch.
Use it in a sentence, please.
Get my coffee, bitch.
What sound or noise do you love?
The sound of a baritone, just humming.
A baritone, like a baritone sax? No, like a
baritone,
like a voice.
Yeah, or like a horn. Yeah,
just that.
Yeah,
what
rich and chocolatey.
What does that do for you? You just like it.
Yeah,
is it like
it
white
makes
noise
the
for
back
you?
Of my neck tingle. It's like ASMR.
Nice.
Yeah.
What a fun fact. What sound or noise do you hate, Hans?
Screeching, high-pitched, you know, like attention-grabbing or like a loud motorcycle or a car.
Yeah. Fucking hate that too.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Do you ever wish something bad on the person when they drive by fast like that?
Yeah. Instant karma, crash into something. Yeah.
Not die, just fucking be taught a lesson, right?
Yeah.
It's like when you see a kid be shitty to another kid, you're like, I want to throw that kid's backpack in the ocean. Not to fucking, you know, ruin his life or hurt him, but just to throw him off course and go, maybe don't be like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Change the momentum.
Yeah. What profession other than your own, Hans, would you like to attempt?
Music or, you know, environmental activist.
Nice.
Or,
I see that for you.
Yeah.
I see your stardom and fame and fortune continuing to rise and you making an impact in other areas.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Truly.
Like Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like crushing
politician.
That. Yeah. Oh, really?
A little bit. I mean, he dabbles in politics. He isn't a politician, but he messes around with it.
Right. Yeah, he's very, he cares a lot. What profession would you not like to do, Hans?
Probably like cubicle, you know, 9 to 5, just keeping the system going. Let's keep it up. Or like, you know, customer service or, you know, like a Verizon salesman.
Just God, like, I would love to see you as a customer service guy. Holy shit.
It's an empty, you know, like you have to care so much about this thing that no one cares about. Phone covers or Verizon plans.
Having to, yeah, sell that shit and push the product, right?
Yeah.
So you would never do customer service. Like, here, real quick. You work at Southwest Airlines. I'm calling with a complaint. Ready?
Yeah. Hey, hello. This is Southwest Airlines. How can I help you?
Fuck, man. I missed my flight. Third flight today I missed. Jesus fucking Christ.
Okay, let's figure it out. You don't have to say all the other stuff.
Well, I'm pissed off, man.
Well, you know, let's try to figure it out. You know, conveying emotion isn't the most helpful. It's just conveying information.
All right, fine. Fuck, dude. All right, look, I'm trying to get to my wife's mom's funeral, okay? And I missed 3 flights. I was supposed to go to Vegas. They canceled that, so I drove to fucking Irvine and flew from Irvine to fucking Texas. And now my flight got canceled here. I'm supposed to be in New Orleans in an hour.
Okay, well, what does your mom's funeral have to do with it? Let me just try to get you to...
It's my wife's mom's funeral, my mother-in-law.
That doesn't help me. I could have thought it was your mom's funeral. It would have made a difference. So you're trying to get to Miami?
What? New Orleans, man.
New Orleans. Okay, that was a lot of information there. Okay, so New Orleans is the important thing. You could have just said New Orleans.
I like your fucking attitude, man. What's your name again?
Hans Kim.
Like, how do you spell that? Why?
Hotel Alpha.
What is it?
Hotel Alpha.
Are you giving me the letter to word thing to spell it out?
Yeah. It's efficient.
I'm going to report you, Hans. Oh, yeah, that's funny?
Yeah. I mean, it's just funny how determined you are to do that. I don't think I can change your mind.
And scene. Great response. Last question for Hans Kim. You were a fucking treat today, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for making time. If heaven exists, Han, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You were right. I fucked up and you did the best you could.
Nice. Now get my coffee, bitch.
Bitch.
That's the way you say it. Where are you on social media?
DJ Hans Kim.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tour dates?
Yeah, Chicago, Detroit.
With Joe?
Detroit with Joe. Wow. Detroit alone, too.
Great.
Denver with Joe. Other things, other places. Spider House Ballroom here in Austin.
Great.
May 6th. A lot of different stuff.
Great.
It's hard to...
HansKim.com?
Yeah.
Great. For all things Hans Kim.
HansKimComedian.com.
You're a fucking treat. I'm glad to know you.
Thanks.
Congrats, Adam. On everything.
Thank you so much.
We got the 206 always, yeah, between us.
Yeah.
It's special.
It's good to see you. I always see you throughout my career.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You're like my sensei. like Jedi Master.
I've always, can I be honest? I've always wanted to be a sensei, but I don't, you know, I don't have, now our senseis, you said that you're Korean, but you get mistook for Chinese.
Yeah.
Our senseis normally
Japanese.
Yeah.
I mean, we pretty much share the same culture. China is like the America of Asia. So like we download all their bullshit, like all their architecture and everything is based around China.
Yeah. Is there a most famous sensei?
Miyamoto Musashi.
Fuck, that's me. Can yeah. I be, so it's, so when you look at me, you go, I got Miyamoto Musashi, what's his name?
Musashi.
Musashi?
Yeah.
So am I the Miyamoto Musashi of comedy?
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks, man.
Love you, dude.